Greetings again this afternoon. Welcome you around the Word again. And just looking forward to baptism. Looking forward to some time with God this afternoon. And thinking of that, we thought it appropriate to just kind of use the theme of baptism this afternoon. And in that light, I want to start in Psalm 51. Psalm of David, pleading to God, following the time when Nathan, the prophet, had come to him and had challenged him in his sin with Bathsheba. And David prays to God and says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Let's pause there and sing a hymn together. We've opened to hymn 136 in the Zion's Harp. Hymn 136 in the Zion's Harp.
Through the precious spirit,
Let's pray together. Our Father, what a blessing it is again this afternoon to come into the sanctuary and to be able to open thy word, knowing that it is true, knowing that it is everlasting. Father, we are thankful for thy creation, thankful that thou hast created us, and thankful that thou hast loved us beyond any measure that we can measure. We're thankful, Father, that thou hast called us to be thy children and hast made a way through the blood of Jesus Christ, thy dear Son. And we, as we heard of our sinful nature this morning in Romans 7, Father, we recognize who we are before thee. And we do not deceive ourselves in coming before thee. But yet we know that through Jesus Christ, we can be made righteous, that we can be justified before thee. And so it is with the blood of Christ that we even come into thy presence. And Father, we ask that thou would bless our time this afternoon. Bless our time as we would read thy word and as we would meditate on it. Bless our time as we would have baptisms this afternoon of two dear souls. And Father, we just pray that this day would be a memorable and momentous day. And Father, that thy name would be honored and praised. Father, we each need thy Spirit to capture our hearts and to change us from the inside out, to make us into, Father, what thou would have us to be and not what we would desire of our own nature. And so, Father, we invite thee in and we invite that change within us. And we pray that just that we would be willing and obedient to turn our lives over to thy Spirit and to thy leading within us. For it is only through that we can be victorious. It is only through him that we can become what we truly want to be. And that is to be as Christ, our perfect example, our Lord and our Savior. And so, Father, give us that heart. Give us the heart of David to be open before thee, confessing our sin, confessing our transgression, and inviting thee to cleanse us and to make us into something new, to restore unto us the joy of salvation. And so, Father, we pray these things. We ask thy blessing on our time, and we can give thee praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So in thinking about baptism this afternoon, I've noted a few verses, and we'll move around a little bit. Hopefully it's not too much. Hopefully it won't be disjointed. Just trust in God to pull it all together. I want to start, and the first two references, you don't necessarily need to turn. They're just one verse. The first one I wanted to start with was Mark 16:16, because that's what Bill referenced last night, and it was so precious, just the reference to that, and just thinking about why baptism, what is this baptism, and why do we go through this process? And one thing that Bill shared last night from Mark 16:16 is just that it's an act of obedience. It says baptism is something that God asks us to do. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so from that standpoint, it is. It's an act of obedience. How much clearer could it be than there in Mark 16? And when I think of baptism, I often think of Acts 2 when Peter is preaching in Acts 2. In 2:38, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Right. So repent and be baptized. So now we've got two things that we're talking about. We're talking about repentance and baptism. So what's this repentance all about? And when we talk about repentance in our church, we often talk about kind of the process of restitution and a process of seeking and coming to peace with God through all of that. But and it's a very core, repentance is just turning. It's turning away and turning toward God. Turning away from our sin. Turning away from our passion. Turning away from that which we desire to that which He desires. And I think it's even more than that. Not just turning from sin, but I think it's also turning from our own efforts to achieve righteousness. Right? Because we can do that as well. We see examples of that throughout the Scripture. Trying to earn God's favor by what we do. Trying to some way become righteous. Right? I appreciate Bill's expression last night too about morality and thinking about trying to become moral but leaving God out of it. How can we do that? And the answer is we can't. We can't become moral. We can't live a moral life leaving out the author of morality. And so, you know, what is that? What does that all look like practically for us? And I've become to appreciate the Sermon on the Mount as we've been memorizing through Matthew 5 this year. And I just love the expression at the very beginning. The very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the very first verse in Matthew 5:3, says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I guess I got ahead of myself a little bit in thinking about, you know, what is baptism and what is it not, right? So baptism is really a symbol of dying with Christ and rising again to newness. And so by being baptized, you know, we're not making ourselves any more righteous than we were before. I'm reminded of a minister that said, you know, I go in a dry sinner and I come out a wet sinner. But yet it's more than that, isn't it? It's a statement of saying that I am putting my trust now in Christ. Right? I'm burying my old manner of trying to achieve righteousness, and I'm rising to a new righteousness in Him. And so, you know, what does that look like practically for us? And I think when we think of it from a practical sense, I think that's what drives me to Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So what does that mean? First of all, what is blessed? Oftentimes we translate blessed as happy. But I think that does it an injustice. Blessed is much more than just happiness, because happiness is about often what our circumstances are, right? Whether we're happy or not depends on what's happening that day. But blessed is much more than that, much deeper than that. Blessed is like the greatest possible state that we can be in. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit? How does being poor in spirit put us in the best state that we can possibly be in? Poor in spirit. Our spirit is what is within us. If we're poor, if we're some might use the word humility. Some might use the word meek. But to be poor in spirit is to be destitute of our own pride, of our own will. So why is that such an enviable state? Why is that the best of all possible states? It says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That state is the state that allows the kingdom of heaven to dwell within us. Right? Because as we empty ourselves of our own will, as we empty ourselves of everything that's against God and His calling, then His Spirit can fill us. And His Spirit fills us to the proportion that we empty ourselves. And that's what's so precious about this verse, because it's saying if you want to be completely filled with the Spirit of God, then what you need to do is empty and make room, right? It's the best possible state. It's so counter our culture, and yet it's so profound. If we empty ourselves, that's what truly our baptism is all about. It's not about the water, though the water is important. It's not about, right, the witnesses, though the witnesses are important. But what it's about a newness of life. And speaking of that, let's go to a verse that Brother Ken shared in Romans 6 a couple weeks back. And again, I apologize for jumping around a little bit. You're welcome to go with me, but you're welcome just to listen as well. Toward the beginning of chapter 6 in Romans, he asks, he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So that baptism is a burial. That baptism is a death. And death to us has many bad connotations. But in this sense, it's a beautiful and it's a glorious thing. Why? Because it's like the death of Christ. Well, what was the death of Christ? The death of Christ was an act of obedience. Why are we talking about Jesus now? Why 2,000 years later are we still talking about Jesus Christ? It's because He died in our place, took our sin upon Himself, and then rose again in 3 days, victorious over that sin, right? None of that can happen without the death. It's his death, right, that fulfilled the law for all time. No more sacrifice, because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. But he only became the perfect sacrifice by dying. And so death, in this sense, though it's painful, though it's not necessarily a desired thing, he prays in the garden, "Father, may this cup pass from me." He doesn't desire the pain, and yet loves us to the extent that he will not forsake this call. He will not forsake what the Father has asked him to do. And so this death is a beautiful thing. And then verse 4 says, we're buried with him by baptism into death. And so the death of our nature, the death of our fleshly nature, is a beautiful thing. Because when we do that, as we read in Matthew 5, then he can fill us. We can be risen with him. We can be something that we could never be by ourselves. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Two more references I'd like to go to. I'd like to go to a verse in Mark and then finish in Colossians 2. Mark 1 verse 8. This is referring to John the Baptist. We know John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way of Christ. And he says very explicitly in verse 8 that what I'm doing is, it's really a symbol of what really is going to happen for you. He says, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And that's a promise to you. Okay? Brother Ken is going to baptize you today with water. But God shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. This is a symbol of the regeneration. But the true regeneration comes from his Spirit. And that's why we see David in Psalm 51. That's why you see him crying out to God. He can't do anything of himself. He says, God, he says, wash me from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Where does that cleansing come from? It comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from what we do. It doesn't mean what we do is unimportant. It means what we do is a result of the cleansing, right? We're not righteous because of what we do. We do what we do because of the cleansing of the Holy Ghost. He says, create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then we read that next verse, 13. And this is important as well. Then it says, will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Right? That came up last night too. Right? That your story is important. Right? Your story is not just your own. Your story is God's story. It's a story of regeneration. And others need to hear that story. And so David's saying, God, you know, give me a clean heart. I recognize my iniquity. I recognize what I did was wrong. Give me a clean heart. And then allow me to speak of your praises. Allow me to convert sinners to you by my life, my new life that you are giving me, right? This is all surrendered to God. It's all God's doing through him. David doesn't have any misconception that he is this great king, right? David understands he's a miserable sinner and yet a king in the service of God. Right? So don't let, as Brother Eric said, don't let Romans 7, you know, lay upon you and immobilize you. Right? We're all in that same state. And yet, we can be, as David was, hopeful of a regeneration. And one that would be to his honor and to his glory. So I just want to close in Colossians 2. I probably should just stop, but this just underscores a little bit of what we were talking about. So in Colossians 2, we did a walk through Colossians just a few months ago, and was it Brother James Inch that did chapter 2, I believe? And he talked about how important relationship with Christ is, and that Christ is sufficient. That was his theme for chapter 2 in Colossians, that Christ is sufficient. We don't need anything else. Starting in verse 10, 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or livened or breathed life into together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Beautiful, right? Christ is sufficient for all. We don't need anything else. And just the idea, I'm so encouraged when I read those verses that talk about how that same Spirit, because we look at Christ and we think, we're just in awe of Christ, are we not? Just in awe of who Christ was and what he was able to do. Why? Because of the Spirit that lived within him. And then that is the encouragement that we can take with us. That same Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is the Spirit that can live within us. Again, if we empty ourselves and allow his Spirit room and free course in our hearts. So may God encourage us in that truth. And we celebrate and we just rejoice with you.
This morning we heard how we can dwell in the flesh, be full of sin, how we can be straitjacketed in the law and following rigid requirements. And this afternoon we got to hear about God's great love and how much Jesus loved us, how much God the Father loves us, that he sent his only begotten Son to die upon the cross, that we can have redemptions and have these opportunities of baptisms, be reunited with him. Church, we'll sing together 395, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, 395 out of the Brown Book. And Bill and Brandy, if you guys want to go prepare yourself for baptism.